Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal. Today, you can listen to us on voinews.id, RRI Digital, and shortwave broadcast on 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Right now, you are listening to the highlights of the week, which presents you events that happened in Indonesia for this week. President Prabowo Subianto arrives in Singapore for state visit and leaders retreat. Andi Romdoni has the details.
President Prabowo Subianto arrived in Singapore on Sunday night for a state visit and the annual leaders retreat. The visit officially begins on Monday, starting with a meeting between President Prabowo Subianto and Singapore President Tharman Shanmugaratnam. Later in the day, Prabowo will hold talks with Prime Minister Lawrence Wong during the leaders' retreat. According to Foreign Minister Sugiono, the visit is a follow-up to discussions at the recent ASEAN Summit in Kuala Lumpur. We will talk about concrete cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore. Meanwhile, Foreign Ministry spokesperson Rolian Shah Sumirat said the talks will focus on key areas of cooperation under both new governments. This visit also marks President Prabowo's first official meeting with Prime Minister Wong following Singapore's recent election. Andi Romdoni, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia launches program to boost skilled migrant worker placements abroad. Dora Pardede reports.
The Indonesian Ministry for the Protection of Migrant Workers and the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce in Jakarta on Sunday sent off 112 migrant workers to various countries. This is part of the Mutual Cooperation Program for Indonesian Migrant Workers aimed at boosting Indonesia's skilled labor overseas. Minister Abdul Kadir Karding said the initiative is more than sending workers abroad. It is an investment in human resources to transfer knowledge and skill.
Orang luar negeri itu bukan sekedar mengirim tenaga kerja, bukan. Saya mengistilahkan kita sedang menginvestasikan.
Sending people abroad is not just about deploying labor. It's an investment in human resources, transferring knowledge, skills, and professionalism. They return as experts, bringing back positive change.
Sumber daya manusia, mereka pulang jadi expert, mereka pulang bawa virus-virus kebaikan baik di dunia kerja maupun di attitude professionalism.
The ministry plans to place 100,000 workers overseas annually, while the Chamber of Commerce support professional and competitive placement of Indonesian workers abroad. Dora Pardede, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is strengthening water infrastructure to support national food security and climate resilience. Desi Anugranov brings us this report.
Speaking at a World Water Day webinar on Monday, Secretary at the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Infrastructure and Regional Development Ayodhya Kalaki emphasized the vital role of water in the food production. He noted that over 70% of Indonesian water resources are used for agriculture.
Water is the source of life, not only for humans, but also for all systems that support environmental sustainability and food security. Without clean water, there will be no health, there will be no food, and there will be no inclusive economic growth. That is why the development of water infrastructure, such as dams, irrigation, drinking water systems, sanitation, and water resource conservation, is so crucial.
Between 2015 and 2023, Indonesia built and rehabilitated 61 national dams covering over 1 million hectares of irrigation. Ayodhya called on all stakeholders to create a collaborative ecosystem to safeguard the nation's water and food future. Desi Anugranov, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia empowers coastal fishermen for food security. Desi Anugranov has the details.
The Indonesian government is transforming coastal communities with the Red and White Fishermen's Village program. The program aims to improve infrastructure and empower fishermen's economic and social life. expert staff member at the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Trian Yunanda, said on Monday that this initiative is a national priority. It will be rolled out in 1,100 coastal area from 2025 to 2027, aiming to help fishermen and fish farmers become more productive and self-reliant.
We are seeing increased productivity and we encourage economic independence through cooperative groups. Above all, this effort seeks to improve the welfare of the community. Everything is done with a people-centered approach, involving the community from the very beginning.
Trian said that the program supports food self-sufficiency, as over half of Indonesian protein comes from seafood. Cooperative and local group will manage fishing villages, boosting cooperation for coastal economic independence. Desya Nugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you are listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Indonesia's Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology held the fourth briefing for the Garuda and Indonesia Maju Scholarship recipients. Ofra Regina has the report.
Deputy Minister of Indonesia's Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, Atip Latiful Hayat, in Jakarta on Monday, said that scholarship recipients carry a great responsibility to study and to contribute to the nation.
Adik-adik semua itu dikirim.
Students are sent abroad to gain three things: knowledge, skills and experience. This form a golden triangle that must be used for Indonesia's progress. The goal is not to become westernized, but to observe ideas of progress.
Atip stressed the need for patriotism through real contributions and building responsibility in scholarship recipients. The Indonesia Maju Scholarship support outstanding students with degree and non-degree programs requiring government assistance. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia promotes milk for nutrition and food resilience. Dora Pardede has the details.
Indonesia marked National Milk Day with a public event in Central Jakarta on Sunday. The celebration along the Car Free Day route aimed to raise awareness of milk's role in nutrition, child growth, and national food resilience. Coordinating Minister for Food Affairs, Zulkifli Hasan, highlighted the importance of milk in supporting the country's nutrition goals.
Memang program pokok Bapak Presiden itu soal pangan.
The President's core program is about food, broadly defined. It includes carbohydrates, proteins, and milk as an essential part. And this can't be done by the government alone. We need everyone, government, private sector, and the public.
Swasta dan masyarakat.
Also speaking at the event, Agriculture Ministry official Agung Suganda said the government is committed to boosting dairy production. He outlined plans to import 1 million dairy cows over the next 5 years and called for private sector support to expand national supply.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia and Singapore expressed concern over the conflict escalation in the Middle East, especially between Israel and Iran. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto conveyed it in a joint press statement with Singaporean Prime Minister Lawrence Wong after the leaders' retreat meeting in Singapore on Monday. On the occasion, President Prabowo invited the warring parties to immediately stop the attacks and emphasized the importance of negotiations for a peaceful solution.
We discussed regional matters and global matters. We expressed deep concern over the situation in Gaza and the escalation in the Israel-Iran conflict. We emphasized the importance of peaceful solution. Negotiation, and we call for immediate ceasefire.
Meanwhile, Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono, who accompanied President Prabowo Subianto, stated that the escalation between Israel and Iran could worsen stability in the region. He also said that the Organization of Islamic Cooperation would hold a meeting in Istanbul, Turkey, and would discuss developments in the Middle East. Indonesia offers to mediate Russia-Ukraine conflict. Andi Ramdhani has the detail.
Indonesia has offered to act as a mediator in the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine. The goal is to help ease tensions both regionally and globally. This was announced by Indonesia's Foreign Minister Sugiono after his meeting with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov on Tuesday. The meeting took place ahead of Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto's upcoming state visit to Russia. Sugiono said he proposed Indonesia's help to Lavrov, aiming to contribute to peace efforts around the world. During this discussion, the two ministers also touched on developments in the Middle East, agreeing that escalating conflicts should be stopped and disputes resolved through negotiations.
I also offered Indonesia's assistance in bridging any communication or differences and offering Indonesia's help to reduce the tension regionally and globally so that we can contribute to a peaceful situation and environment in many areas of the world. Excellency Lavrov also mentioned about the developing situation in the Middle East. This is something that we also need to address. We agree that any escalation need to be stopped and any dispute need to be brought to the negotiation table.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov expressed his appreciation for Indonesia's balanced stance on the Russia-Ukraine conflict.
Indo-Pacific strategies. I thanked our friends for a well-balanced position on the conflict around Ukraine, for a good understanding of the situation, and for understanding that it is counterproductive to connive at attempts to Ukrainize the agenda of any international format.
President Prabowo Subianto is scheduled to meet with President Vladimir Putin in St. Petersburg, Russia on Thursday. Their meeting will happen before the 2025 St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, where President Prabowo is expected to speak during both the opening and plenary sessions. Andi Ramdhani, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia and Russia deepen trade ties. Desi Anugranov has the detail.
Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono has just wrapped up a working visit to Moscow ahead of President Prabowo Subianto's upcoming trip to Russia. President Prabowo is set to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin in St. Petersburg on June 19 and 2022 and will also attend the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. Speaking after a meeting with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov on Tuesday, Minister Sugiono said the visit was meant to smooth preparation for the president's trip and at the same time strengthen the border partnership between the two countries. He pointed to trade and investment as a key areas where both sides still have a lot of room to grow.
In many aspects, in economy and trade, in investment, we agreed to expand the cooperation that we already have. We also agree that there's so many untapped potential in this regard, and in trade and investment relations between Indonesia and Russia, that we need to explore further, to increase and strengthen. And we also reaffirm our commitment to implement the outcomes of the 13th Indonesia-Russia Joint Commission meeting on trade, economic and technical cooperation held on 14 to 15 April 2025. On investment, I also invite Russian companies to engage in strategic investment cooperation with Indonesian businesses.
Minister Sugiono also expressed his hope that more Indonesian students and officials will have the opportunity to study the Russian language as a way to strengthen people-to-people ties between both countries. He also described his visit to Moscow as productive with a number of agreements that have been concluded and will be signed during President Prabowo's upcoming visit.
Mount Lewotobi in East Flores, Indonesia, erupted, but there were no casualties and evacuees are safe and cared for. Ofra Regina, bring us the report.
Indonesia's National Disaster Management Agency confirmed that the eruptions of Mount Lewotobi Laki-Laki in East Flores, East Nusa Tenggara on Tuesday sent an ash column up to 10,000 meters high. The eruptions forced residents in two nearby districts, Ulu Wulanggitang and Ilebura, to evacuate to safer areas. In a press briefing held in Jakarta on Wednesday, the agency's spokesperson Abdul Muhari said that the situation is under control. He reported that temporary shelters for displaced residents are fully functioning and that supporting the evacuees remains the government's main concern.
We would like to inform you that the temporary shelters built by the agency, local government, and related ministers are now in use. More than 450 families from villages within 6 km danger zone around Mount Lewotobi Laki-Laki have moved into the shelters, which are equipped with electricity and clean water. So we can confirm that the eruption did not result in any fatalities.
The agency also assured that the basic needs of all evacuees are being met. The central government continues to support local response efforts, including clearing main access routes and monitoring the volcano's activity. Aurora Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is pushing for stronger, more reliable environmental labs to support better policy decisions. Aurora Regina has the details.
At a national meeting of environmental labs on Tuesday, Indonesia's Minister of Environment and Forestry, Hani Faisal Nurofik, said labs must produce credible and valid data to guide Indonesia's environmental strategies.
We aim to work together to deliver credible and valid evidence of environmental management. This data should serve as the basis for the next policy steps.
The minister also called for stronger lab accreditations and re-registrations. He said trusted data is key, especially as Indonesia faces global challenges and targets sustainable growth above 8%. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that's our highlights of the week.
Langkah kakimu melesat atau tersendat, jalani karena dia kan jadi sahabat. Ketika niat raga sudah menjadi takdir, curang terdalammu akan segera berakhir. Bintang di ujung langit pasti akan teraih, lalui ombak yang tetap akan berpulih.
Sedari dulu ku bermimpi membelah langit, pecahkan labirin, ambil kesempatan di dalam sempit. Untuk nafas baru dalam waktu yang sedikit, raga baru yang tak lelah menahan sakit. Untuk semangat yang masih mencoba untuk bangkit, untuk ratusan peluh yang mengalir di atas kulit, yakin ku bisa raih mimpi di ujung langit. Menari lepas dengan keadaan kaki terjepit,
dan ku raih masa depan ku yang cerah. Walau badai menerjang, we'll be right back.
akan kujelang cita-cita. Setinggi langit angkasa lepas ku berkarya, berharap suatu saat berubah menjadi nyata. Keinginan, usaha, doa dan pengorbanan, tentukan pilihan, wujudkan masa depan. Bagai bumi berotasi tak pernah berhenti, bukan terus berlari, gapai semua mimpi.
Ya, masih ada cinta untuk bertahan, masih banyak semangat untuk wujudkan angan. Ya pasti, kita pasti, pasti bisa, pasti mampu, pasti kita bisa maju. Selama mentari terbit masih dari timur, selama nafasku masih menemani umur. Bukan raih mimpiku tinggi-tinggi, karena ku yakin I can be what I wanna be.
Ku raih masa depan ku yang cerah, walau badan menerjang ku takkan menyerah. Raih mimpiku,
jadi ringan, maka jangan dibikin berat. 'Cause life must go on. Mari kita raih mimpi kita setinggi-tingginya. Genggam erat pegangan, kita berangkat sekarang.
Umur 12 tahun, cita-citaku ingin menjadi astronot, pemain sepak bola, cita-cita menjadi polisi.
Aku pasti bisa.
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 What you wanna be? Yeah. What I wanna be. Be what you wanna be. Never give up.
Voice of Indonesia.
I'm not a
close your eyes and get ready. Take a deep breath, close your eyes and get ready. Take a deep breath, close your eyes and get ready to fly.
Listener, let's join our special interview with Dr. Ida Pramuwardani, head of the Weather Prediction and Early Warning Team of Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency of Indonesia about Welcome Anomaly Season, hosted by Ahmad Faisal. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, finally, as we promised you before, we are going to head for our VOI talk, listener. Well, it's June in Indonesia, and usually it is a time for of a dry and sunny weather. But this year, something unusual is happening, and many areas, including Jakarta, are still getting rain and quite a lot of it. So what's behind this unexpected weather? Is it anything to be worried about? And to help us understand, we have been connected by a spokesperson from Indonesia's Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency, of head of the Weather Prediction and Early Warning Team of the Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency of Indonesia, with Dr. Ida Pramuwardani. Assalamualaikum, Ibu Dr. Ida.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
How are you today, Ibu Ida?
Good. Good, thank you.
Okay, with me Faisal at the studio of Voice of Indonesia, Bu Ida.
Yeah, hello, okay. Faisal.
Thank you for your time and also special time, Bu Ida, for joining this special interview, because not only here, we are in Jakarta, special also our office here, but also our listeners around the world also know about the anomaly season, especially in Indonesia. Well, before we talk more about this, actually, Ida, can you explain firstly about what's going on with the weather in Indonesia right now? Because we are still seeing the rain in the middle of the dry season. What's going on, actually, Ida?
Yeah, I think this will be an interesting topic to be discussed, yeah, Pak Faisal. So first of all, we have to understand about the weather phenomena or atmospheric phenomena that control the weather condition in Indonesia. If we talk about the seasonal condition like dry season, rainy season, so the atmospheric condition or atmospheric scale that control it is a global scale. It is quite different for weather, because weather not only global scale, it also influenced by many other scale like regional and also local scale. The local scale is the most significant scale that contribute to the weather condition in the tropical region like Indonesia, because if we talk about our latest condition, one of the key drivers that also triggering the raining, heavy rainfall in some area is the land sea breeze cycle. So it is very local condition. So each day, surface heating over land during the afternoon triggers convective cloud formation and then resulting in rainfall from late afternoon into the evening. And it is very typical condition that we already experiencing this several days. And it's subsequently the convective system shift offshore and becomes active again over the sea during the early morning hours. So this recurring pattern is very common in the tropical complex island like in Sumatra, Kalimantan, Papua, including Jakarta. And this pattern remain prominent this week, so we have to be aware because the raining will continue to come, and explaining why many areas still experience rainfall in the late afternoon until evening.
So, Buida, you said before about the unusual phenomenon. I mean, if we compare from maybe previous years, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, maybe, and like today, does it only happen in this year? Or maybe previous year, we also it also happened in some of areas or some of provinces in Indonesia, maybe?
Yeah. We have to remember, and I think we also have to understand that every year we experiencing a different condition background. Okay. Like today, this year, we have a neutral phase of El Nino Southern Oscillation. Mm-hmm. So we don't have El Nino, we don't have La Nina. So it's quite different with the previous 3 years, which was facing El Nino then La Nina. We have a neutral condition now, so it's quite different. So the impact of those phenomena quite, I mean, we need to check in a quite scientific analysis, mm-hmm. so we can decide it is the condition, is it different or the same, or we have the impact of such as the global warming, etc. So we need to explore scientifically first. Faisal.
Okay. Bu Ida, actually, is this phenomenon something new or be it after happened actually previously, Bu Dr. Ina?
Yeah. Firstly, I think I need to check the data, but if I could say this is not we cannot say that this is anomaly. Mm. It is not necessarily anomaly, but we can see it like an unusual condition to the public. Okay. Because raining condition during the dry season is not always classified as a true anomaly in meteorology, mm-hmm. especially in the tropical region like Indonesia. The dry season doesn't mean there will be no rain at all, right? So it simply means that rainfall decrease and its pattern change. Diurnal, daily, and sub-seasonal scale phenomena can still occur and could increase the potential for rain, especially in the region of Indonesia.
Okay. Based on the prediction from BMKG, will it still happen maybe until the end of this year, Doctor?
Because it's quite different.
Okay.
Among the region in Indonesia, because we have a different background of atmospheric condition, geographical and topographic condition, but in the area of Indonesia, in next 3 days, we still have to be aware of heavy rainfall that can be occur, especially in Jabodetabek and then in South Sumatra, etc.
So we also even don't know about the real happen. I mean, even whether it is maybe in the big cities or not, like this maybe, Bu Ida.
Yeah, we are still check, but for a seasonal condition, mm-hmm. it is still less than 50% mm-hmm. of Indonesia region that already experiencing a dry season. That's why for a lot of region in the Indonesia region still have heavy rainfall. And because we are in the neutral phase of El Enso or El Nino Southern Oscillation, so that the condition will be quite humid and the weather, the extreme weather still can be occur, especially in this end of this year. December, I think we have to beware for those months, because those months, especially the rainy season, usually comes.
Okay, so yeah, especially for November and December, rainy season always come.
Yeah.
Okay. Ibu Ida, actually, what are the possible effects if this rainy weather continues especially for things like daily life, farming, or maybe public safety?
Yeah, maybe I start with the public safety. Of course, it is important because besides important and critical, because extreme weather can directly giving the impact for the public, like maybe a strong wind can also giving a damage for the people who crossing the road, etc. And for farming, we can also experience a crop failure, a disturbing supply chain and food logistic, disturbing in food logistic. And for daily activity, it is quite have a strong relation with the transportation, because during the heavy rainfall we will facing the traffic jam, transportation disturbing, especially that using electrical power like in Jakarta commuter line, and then other damaging impact like disaster, of course, like flood, landslide, etc., can be affected by the extreme weather, especially heavy rainfall. So with the high dynamical weather change in a tropical region of Indonesia, we or BMKG encourage everyone to stay informed by regularly checking the information, the update information from BMKG. Faisal.
Okay. So it means that with this unusual condition, people, especially who live around the area in this unusual condition, should be able to stay safe and prepare during this unexpected weather. So how do you see this, Bu Ida?
We have a mini channel, information channel, so people can be checked regularly through the website, official BMKG official website. Then we also have official social media, and people also can download the mobile apps info BMKG, either in a Android or iPhone or whatever the mobile apps you have. And people also can call the call center of BMKG 116.
Okay.
And also we have many official office in a province, so people also can come and get the information of weather condition, get the update information.
Okay, so talking about this, is BMKG also working with other government or related agencies or local authorities to monitor and also respond to the situation, this unexpected situation, Bu Ida?
Sure. Because as part of the core mandate, BMKG also commit to providing the up-to-date weather information, including issuing a warning, early warning information to the public and also to the stakeholder, because stakeholder will have a important role to having a contingency plan, if I could say that. And that's why we have a good coordination with stakeholder like BNPB or National Disaster Management, and BPBD or regional or province disaster management. So once the potential of extreme weather that can cause a damage happen, so immediately we inform them, we communicated with them, we coordinate with them, not only giving the information, but we doing some conversation with them, either the information already gathered by them, delivered to them or not. So we have also to make sure that they understand the information that we already prepared to them.
Including to the such doing research together, Bu Dr. Ida.
Yeah, for collaboration, of course, we're doing research together, especially in the disaster sector.
Including to what you call that, that BRIN, like the Research and Innovation Agency here.
Yeah, of course, in a BRIN, especially for developing the methodology, the equipment, the sensor like a radar, etc.
Okay, well, to know more about this, Bu Ida, how can people actually to know much more about the updated information from this BMKG?
Yeah, we have an official website in www.bmkg.co.id. We provide information not only weather condition, but also climate, seasonal, earthquake, tsunami, air pollution. So not only official website, we also provide the information in the social media like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, which is quite easy to access. And also we provide also the information through the application, mobile application, like I said previously. And people also can call 196 for BMKG call center.
Okay, so let's come to the final question, Dr. Ida. Maybe do we have any such messages for Indonesian people, especially who are able to face this unusual condition of the weather?
Yeah, so people have to also prepare themselves about the impact that can occur after the extreme weather happen. So they are also mm-hmm. have to aware to the environment in their maybe the environment in their house.
Stay tuned at www.voynews.id, because after this song we'll be right back to accompany you again here.
Voice of Indonesia.
Senyummu adalah sebuah anugerah indah. Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Jebak dalam
Voice of Indonesia.
Dari kegagalan yang tak seharusnya kau sesali, karena kenyataan hidup yang aku jalani tak seindah saat ku dengar engkau bernyanyi. Peluklah lelah jiwaku, mama, yang terluka di perjanjian dunia. Hanya kasih sanggup untuk bangkit dari kegagalan yang tak seharusnya kau sesali, karena kenyataan hidup yang aku jalani tak seindah saat ku dengar engkau bernyanyi. Peluklah lelah jiwaku, mama, yang terluka di perjanjani dunia. Kasihmu yang mampu lindungi lama hatiku yang tak sekuat hatimu. Peluk hati kecil yang penuh dan jam ini ajari untuk menghapus sebuah
listener, finally, I am Ahmad Faisal. I would like to say thank you very much for your time and attention to listen to our program. Have a nice weekend and see you next time.